Morning. Thank you for your patience. Maybe turn me down a little bit. Thank you, Steve. We're progressing through the letter, the epistle of 1 Thessalonians, and we're picking up at chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Last week we had an introduction, and I'll just very briefly. The Apostle Paul was round about here. He was going up to Bithynia here, and the Holy Spirit turned him away. He traveled down to the province of Asia, and the Holy Spirit turned him away from there. So we look to this great apostle and his wonderful ministry and what he's done by penning two-thirds, a great majority of the New Testament, made a few wrong turns. And it's very encouraging that the Holy Spirit get pushing him west towards Troas, where he heard the call from the man to come to Macedonia. Come to Macedonia and help us. So he traveled over to Philippi up here. He planted a church in Philippi and went to Thessaloniki here. He was only there a very short period of time. 3 weeks, we know, he preached in the synagogue there. And wherever Paul went, he got a reaction. He either caused a revival or he caused a riot. But you knew when Paul was in town. So he was there, we know, for a minimum of 3 weeks. Some say up to a couple of months. The Bible doesn't tell us. We can just make our best guess. He got jailed in Philippi, got beaten with rods. And when he's worshipping the Lord with Silas, the prison gates were flung open. And we know the rest of the story, where the jailer was going to fall on the sword. And they said, no, no. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord. You and your household will be saved. And he traveled on to Thessalonica and was there before he was driven out to Berea there and then down to Corinth. Where we know he was for a long time. And it's thought that he wrote the letter from there when he sent Timothy back to see what was going on. And last week we spoke about the work produced by faith, labor that was prompted by love, and an endurance that was inspired by hope. Very rich, deep, wonderful verses, and we pick it up again in verse 4 of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. If you want to follow on your phone or in your Bible, please do so. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Amen. He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived amongst you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. May God bless His word to us this morning. Loved by God and chosen by God. Isn't that wonderful? This is a little noisy. If you're getting too hot, give me a nod. And I will turn it back on. loved by God and chosen by God. When Paul preached, it was his custom to go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. That was always Paul's custom, and it was to his detriment. He paid a great price for that. And we, throughout this letter, we hear about this great suffering and this persecution, but we have to read between the lines to what is actually going on, because it doesn't tell us what this severe suffering the Thessalonians are going through. We have clues and we have ideas, but Paul was under great persecution planting these churches. First and foremost, we know by history that in Acts 15, the Pharisees were telling the Gentiles to be circumcised to receive salvation. And they go to the council where they lift this burden of the law from the Gentiles. And there was great rejoicing. And then Paul is preaching grace and truth, peace and grace. This new message, not under law, but under grace. And there's this group of Pharisees that come to be known as the Judaizers that make Paul's life an absolute misery. An absolute misery. And he's hounded everywhere he goes, like with a riot or a revival when he preaches this message. But faithfully, he goes to the synagogues first. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. And here we have this wonderful word, chosen, election. It is a word that is taken from the Old Testament, the doctrine of election, and that may cause some difficulties and some confusion, depending on your theological background or understanding. We at ICS have many people from many denominations, and we may think different things about this doctrine of election. But we can agree on most. And I quite like how David Pawson puts it in his commentary. He said, some people make predestination into an arbitrary thing, as if God just picks people out with a pin. But that is not predestination. Some people make predestination a harsh thing and make God out just choosing a few favorites and damning the rest. And that is not predestination. Some people make predestination into an uncertain thing so you can never be quite sure. And all them ideas are wrong, according to David Pawson. And I really like John Stott's description. And he says, it's always introduced in Scripture of the context of God's initiative. And it has to be, doesn't it? Because we are created by God in his image. God made us, so we can't take the initiative. We are created in his image. He chose Abraham and he chose Israel. And most usually in practical purposes, says John Stott, it fosters assurance and not presumption, holiness and not moral apathy, humility and not pride, witness and not lazy selfishness. He was talking about Israel in Deuteronomy. The Lord did not set his affection upon you because you were so numerous. He said, in fact, the opposite. You were so few because you were the fewest. But it's because the Lord loved you. He's chosen you because he loved you. And that, for me, is predestination, and sometimes we can get tangled up and miss the main thing. God chose the church because he loved the church in Thessalonica. It wasn't Paul's design, even though Paul was used, he was a great instrument, and he suffered greatly because of it, but it was God's choosing. ICS is God's church. It was founded by David and Bishop Mercer and a few others, but it was God's initiative to form this church, and it was God's initiative to save you and me, because in his grace, in his mercy, he chose us. Hallelujah. It says in Ephesians, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless." I think the battery's gone. Or it's going. Thank you, Danny, for going to the shop and fetching that. You're a true servant. I really love the way that the Apostle Paul balanced this throughout his letters and throughout his ministry. That he wasn't shy to do all he could to make the Lord known. But he didn't shy away and leave it all up to God. He demonstrated a great balance between the sovereignty of God and our responsibility as children, as preachers, and whatever gifts God has given you. He never lost sight of his responsibility to preach, to pray, to sow, to water, to plead. He did everything he could and more in the natural. And he left the supernatural to God. He allowed God's word to go forth in a demonstration of power in word and in miracles and in signs and in wonders. I think sometimes we can use these great doctrines that are inspired by love to just take the foot off the gas a little bit and say, oh, it's all God's. But the Bible clearly tells us that we're co-workers with the Lord. God would choose to build his kingdom through us, through sharing his gospel, his word, his love. Truly, truly amazing. His preaching went forth with demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power with deep conviction. This was life-changing. Paul, there's one more thing that we often leave out that is so clearly seen. He wasn't afraid to preach the word. Signs followed, the anointing followed, but he was prepared to suffer for it. Like the first two, we like the preaching and the anointing, are we prepared to suffer for it? And I know I'm speaking to the converted, or you wouldn't be here. Many of you have left countries to come and shine for Jesus Christ. This day and age, the suffering might be turned up. But like Paul, I'm not, and we are not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. First to the Jew. Chapter 2, it says, "We thank God continually because when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Work in our hearts. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The living word of God, Jesus Christ, pushed forth by his Spirit, this mystery made known in part. We still can't fully comprehend it. But this living word of God separates the smoke and the mirrors in this day and age and penetrates deep in the heart of each one of us, that separates the sin
the lies, the pretense, the falsehood. It penetrates because it's living, will achieve what it's meant to accomplish because it is Jesus Christ, God, who has chosen you. It is God who has chosen his church to be glorified in, despite all our weaknesses, all our frailties, all our indifferences, all our apathy. He has chosen this vehicle to be glorified in. And we are part of that. Me and you. In our weakness, his strength is practice. It says, follow my example in Corinthians as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. This Greek word, mimete, is used many, many times in the epistles, in the New Testament, and it's where we get the word mimic from. And like a child that plays with dolls, a little girl plays with her dolls and she dresses them, and maybe the boys plays with their cars, this is how we learn. Following Paul's example by putting it into practice. And he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And this word here, follow my example. And the suffering, I want to go back to suffering. When it says severe suffering, Dr. Leon Morris describes this affliction in this way. It's like a compress, like you have grapes in a wine press. This word in the Greek, this severe affliction, is pressure. And we all know pressure. In this day and age, the pressure of expectation of other people, pressure of life, the pressure of finance, just the pressure, we feel it pushing down on us. And this context here where Paul is describing this severe suffering, he's talking about grapes being pressed so far down that the juice comes out, that they're crushed. God does that with us because he loves us. I don't know about you, but often I pray, Lord, deliver me from this suffering. And it is God's will that we go through it. We sang a song, we sing it here quite regularly, Refiner's Fire. Purify my heart, purify my heart. And in the Refiner's Fire, in this pressure of this situation the church was in, God is at work. God is building his kingdom, and he doesn't need our permission, and he doesn't do it the way that we expect. And he doesn't use the people we expect. Because problem with God, he thinks he's God. And he does it his way. But his purposes will be accomplished. Despite us, despite me, despite you. He will build his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Maybe we've been through a season of pressure here at ICS. Maybe you're in a season of pressure now, in and through us. And we're not going through anything strange. We're going through it together in community, being fashioned and formed into the image of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we want to pray all that away. It's very interesting to look back in Scripture. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Oh boy. You want to be walking the opposite way and get me out of here. I'm on the wrong path. Maybe I took the wrong turn, Lord. Turn me around. And said, no. You're exactly. Paul said, follow me. Look at the suffering Paul went through. Beaten with rods, abandoned. 39 lashes, 40 lashes minus one. That's death. He's 40. He was abandoned. Shipwreck, left for dead. Preaching sounds great, the anointing sounds great, but I don't know about the last bit. follow God's work. Don't get me wrong. We don't
preach in practice.
Being imitators. Says it in Hebrews twice. It says it in 1 Peter. Says it in 1 Corinthians twice. It says it in Ephesians 2. And here in Thessalonians. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That we're to be like them. He said, I urge you. Despite the persecution the church was under, Paul shared. What was the fruit of that? Joy. Oof. That doesn't sound right, does it? Joy. Via suffering. Joy through the Holy Spirit. Joy. Not that we can only get through, but we can rejoice in it. And have joy. Something that is external. That is something that God imparts. That it bubbles up within us. That living water of the Holy Spirit. That despite our circumstance, despite the pressing down, despite the pressure, that we could experience joy. Gonna have to get some oil on that door. We could experience joy like this church did. Wonderful word from God. We live like the Apostle Paul. I'd love to preach like him. I'd love the anointing like him. But would I love the suffering? I don't know. I'd like to think that we could persevere whatever the Lord has. At times, life is hard and it pushes down on us. Lose perspective and feel alienated and alone. But that's not true. Walking in footsteps of the apostles, the prophets before, of Jesus. Live like Jesus. Are we willing to suffer? Like Paul, like Jesus, like the Thessalonians. Have we got joy in the Holy Spirit? Despite. So in just in these few verses we have. In the first 6 verses we have faith, hope, love and joy. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Dear God. We thank you that ICS is a church that you have chosen. Person sitting here today, chosen by you, predestined to be adopted to your sons and daughters because you love us. Forgive us for making doctrines that we may push to cause division, our own pet theologies, where your motivation was love. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Back for us and take us to be with you. Strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Enable us to encourage one another in love. And to persevere despite suffering, despite persecution, and despite hardship. And may the fruit of faith, hope, and love, and joy well up in our soul and in our spirits, that everybody may see that we are a children of God, that your light would shine out bright from amongst us, that the salt would be flavor and the light would shine in the darkness. We ask this for your kingdom and glory because it is your design. It is something that you have chosen to do. And we thank you for your work. Build your church and the gates of hell will not stop it. Amen.